You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
We're starting a new series today titled Storms. Titled Storms. This is going to run us through the entire month of May, and hopefully we get to experience some storms while we're preaching this series. But we're going to be talking about the literal and the figurative storms of Scripture. And then as we open the Bible together, we're going to apply those scriptures to our lives today. You know, I think many of us, when we think about storms, when we think about literal storms, we think of them as destructive or violent, plan-altering, maybe, or problematic events. And some of them are, right? I mean, many of us have probably prayed a time or two for bad weather to go away so that our outdoor plans could stay the way that we had planned them. Right? But not all storms are bad, right? Some are powerful and they're amazing. They remind us of God's glory. And speaking as a guy who moved here from the Midwest, I grew up in Iowa, I can tell you that there was nothing like a storm in the state of Iowa that actually got everyone out of their home to see what was happening up in the skies. I mean, we weren't ones to kind of like hunker down and try to hide from the storms. It seemed like in Iowa, nothing got their dads active in the neighborhood as much as a tornado siren. Like when the tornado siren happens, that's when all of a sudden the garage doors would go up and the dads would lead their kids outside to say, hey, look, son, hey, look, dog, this is what a funnel cloud looks like. I have distinct memories growing up when the sky would turn almost like a greenish blue hue. That's when you knew stuff was about to get interesting. When it was a color that wasn't normal. And then my mom would be yelling at us to come inside and my dad would be like, I mean, like maybe if it gets worse, we'll come in. But right, the siren is to let us know that something cool is happening. So let's get some lawn chairs, maybe grab a drink. Let's like watch this thing play out. And if it gets worse, then yes, we'll go inside. I mean, I loved these things. There's like science class happening right in front of you. Storms, they just pop up out of nowhere. They're part of our everyday life in a lot of ways. And the Bible is filled with crazy language around storms and weather patterns and all kinds of kind of messiness in our chaotic world. In Scripture, there's over 1,400 different references to weather patterns or weather illustrations. Some of them are mild, some of them are giant, like hailstorms and earthquakes, torrential rain, or floodwaters. And some are literal, and we'll talk about those in the coming weeks, like when Jesus was napping on the boat in the midst of a giant storm, but others are symbolic. They serve as a metaphor for life. And they help us to describe, they put language to the challenges that we feel and the things that we face and how storms have a way of wearing you down, sometimes almost taking you out. And these kind of quote storms of life, they're caused by all kinds of different things, right? Like sometimes it's a spiritual battle. And there's like this clash of the kingdoms and Satan actually rises up to try to destroy things in your life. And that is a serious storm. Other times it's just the chaotic nature that we live in. We find ourselves in a broken world and we experience broken things. And you know, sometimes if we're being really honest with each other, some storms are created by our own mistakes. And some of the messiness that we experience are like things that we've actually created, but there are also storms that come our way that aren't caused by any of those things. And they're actually planned by God to redirect our paths and get us going in a certain kind of way. Not every storm, of course, but some storms are planned and orchestrated by God to develop our faith and to mature our walk with Him. Some are needed so that He can accomplish His greater purposes. So over the course of the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five different passages from Scripture that teach us about the storms of life. And we're going to talk about all these different types of storms, the ones that you can see in Scripture. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ones that come out of nowhere, the ones that leave you with a sense of almost suffering and wondering what's going on, but also the ones that with enough time you look back and you think, man, I think God planned this from the very beginning. because there was something in my heart that would have just kept going in the same direction, and I needed him to redirect my path. So no matter the origin of those storms, right, or the kind of season that you find yourself in today, one thing is for certain, that time and time again, God is always making himself known in the midst of the storm. He's always making himself known. That these storms of life, they have a chance to deepen our faith and bring that spiritual maturity that like the calmness of life simply can't bring. The calmness of life simply can't bring. Now, thankfully, you know, as you open the Bible, you see that we, in the midst of these storms, we get the chance to walk with the one who can transform all things. And throughout scripture, you read things like, he is the one who took things that were intended for harm and he can turn them for good. The one who can work all things together for good for those who love him and follow him. And these things are true. And you could be here this morning. You might even be thinking right now, like, I don't have that kind of life with God. The kind of life of God that you're talking about, where you can rely on God in the midst of storms, I don't have that kind of life with God. Or maybe you've never made a personal commitment to follow Jesus in the first place. And if that's you, we're so glad that you are here. Because the Vineyard is a place where you can explore your faith and you can encounter God, but also every Sunday we gather, we invite people to make a first-time commitment to follow Jesus. And if you need to do that this morning as we open the Bible together, you realize, I need to do that today, then we'll create space for that to happen later in our service. But while you think and pray about that, we're gonna open the Bible together. And we're gonna start this series by reading from the book of Acts, which happened after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And towards the end of Acts, chapter 27, there's a church planter named Paul. And Paul, with a bunch of his friends and sailors and guards and prisoners, they were all on a boat thinking they were going to Rome. They were actually sailing from Israel to Rome. But during this trip, there was a major storm that came about, and it kind of changed everyone's plans. So Acts 27, I'm gonna read about 13 verses this morning. It's a larger chunk of scripture, but I kind of want you to see the arc of this story. This is what it says in Acts 27, starting in verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, again, Israel to Rome. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" I love how he finishes it. "But we will be shipwrecked." You know, all of this is good, but yes. In fact, you should have listened to me, but we're gonna be shipwrecked. I mean, the language is just incredible, really. Like, when you think about the whole story, it's descriptive in a lot of ways of the literal storms we face, but also those figurative ones, the metaphorical storms of our life. It says the weather, it changed abruptly, and that can happen to any one of our lives. He continues, with great difficulty, they sailed along. They used ropes to try to strengthen the ship because they were afraid. And then in verse 20, the storm raged on for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until all hope was gone. Have you ever felt like that before? All hope was gone. This could be you right now. All hope is gone. Fear is more common than faith. It seems like nothing is going right. Your original destination is now way out of sight. You're not eating right. You're not sleeping well. And there are days when it feels like you're not going to make it to your destination at all, that you're just lost out to sea. And it's not like the sailors weren't trying. They were doing everything they knew how to do. They weren't just sitting around letting themselves get beaten and tossed by the wind and the waves. They were trying, much like any of us would do in our own storms of life. We would do what we know how to do best. And so they're pulling up the lifeboat. They're strengthening the boat. They're trying to figure out, how can I slow this thing down? It's getting out of control. And we all do this. Of course we do. We do what we know how to do best. And sometimes still, our plans don't work. And this is why Paul is so great for us. It's part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason why this passage is recorded, so that we can retell this story and learn from Paul. Paul reminds us that, yes, our efforts are important. We should like step up and try to do what we know how to do best. But even better than our best efforts, we need God's presence. We need his Spirit to be moving among us. See, in every storm, you are promised God's presence. In every storm. And Paul, at first, he responds in kind of a funny way, right? You heard it in the text that I wrote. He's like, it was almost like an I told you so kind of moment. Like, we should have never left. If you would have listened to me and never left, then we wouldn't be in such a bad situation. But then I like how he turns it in verse 22. Take courage. Take courage. The ship is going down, but you're not going to die. No one will lose their life. That's good news at all. We can celebrate that. And then verse 23, last night, an angel of the God whom I serve, an angel of the God whom I belong to, he came to me and he said, don't be afraid, Paul. You will go to Caesar. And even more, in God's goodness, he'll save everyone here. He'll save you all. This storm will not be the end. It will not be the end of your life. Now, I can't promise you, and the Bible definitely doesn't try to promise you that once you give your life to Jesus, that everything will just be wonderful and beautiful and blessed, that you'll never struggle ever again. But it does promise an even more important thing, that in the midst of the storms of life, God will always be at your side. He'll always be at your side. Now, if we took a poll right now, I would imagine that many of us would say, I'd prefer a life with no storm. I'd prefer a life with no storms at all. And you know what? Like, sometimes it feels like it would be a little easier, doesn't it? It probably would be. A life with no storms probably would be a little bit easier. But I don't want the easy life. I want the blessed life. I want the best life that God has for me. I want depth and richness with the Lord. I want a life marked by his presence, filled with spiritual maturity. And scripture makes it clear over and over and over again that when the storms come our way, if we can learn to rely on God and pay attention to what he is doing and where he is at, it's like the spiritual roots of our heart, they grow deeper. Our love increases and our trust and reliance on him grows in a way that cannot happen when the skies are clear and the waters are calm. There's just something different that happens to your faith in the midst of a storm. They bring a unique experience with God that matures our faith beyond the calmness of life. Now, I'm not trying to make you think storms are enjoyable. I definitely don't enjoy them when I'm in the midst of storms. They're not fun. Plus, it seems like when you're going through a storm, that even if not everyone is watching you, it kind of feels like everyone is watching you. You know, but your experience of God in the midst of this storm is often a blessing. It's a blessing to you, but it's also a blessing to everyone around you. I mean, all of Paul's friends were watching what was going on. Luke wrote about it. We get to retell the story today. The sailors were watching the power of God at work. Even the guards, they got to experience Paul's prophetic word come to pass. And it all happened because God was always at his side. If you find yourself right now, like in the midst of a storm, and it feels like the sun and the stars are blotted out and all hope is lost, my prayer for you, my hope for you, is that by faith you'll begin to experience God at your side. By faith that you'll be able to experience him in a deeper way. And I'm not just talking about like a mental exercise of being aware that like God is good and he is with you. I mean like deeply and personally that you'll actually experience him. Like Paul, I pray that you'll have dreams and encounters with God, that when we gather for worship, that it will be meaningful, prayer life that is deep, that the word of God will be opened up to you in a new kind of way. I mean, this is part of the reason why we gather. So that you can come in the midst of your current storm and experience worship with a community, hearing people sing over you, lifting your voice, even if it's just barely coming out and joining in the choir of your brothers and sisters worshiping and praising alongside of you. It's why we take communion together and we have prayer, because we want to, in the midst of our storms, have an opportunity to experience God. In every storm, you are promised his presence. But when you read Acts 27 and even into Acts 29, you realize that's really just one of the promises. The second promise is that in every storm, you are promised God's purpose. You will begin to experience his purpose in a different kind of way. Storms have a way of revealing God's purpose in your life in a unique kind of way. Again, in a way that can't happen when the skies are all clear. In the next chapter, Acts 28, we don't have time to read the whole passage this morning. I'd encourage you to read Acts 27 and 28 on your own this week. But in Acts 28, the summary of kind of the end of this story, I'll give it to you. The ship got destroyed just like Paul prophesied. And everyone swam to shore and they landed on an island named Malta. And it gets really crazy in Acts 28. I mean, everyone's safe, but they're cold from having to swim to the shore through this storm and in the ocean. And so they start building a fire. And as they're building a fire, Paul's throwing some sticks on the fire, and a viper, a poisonous snake, lunges out and bites Paul on the arm. And he just kind of shakes it off in the fire. He doesn't even pray, oh, dear God, help me. Maybe he was praying internally, but he seemed to kind of know God is going to protect me. And people from the island were watching Paul, and they were like, oh, the storm didn't take him, but now the snake will. This is clearly God's judgment on his life. And then after a while, when he didn't get sick and die, they changed their minds. And they're like, no, maybe Paul's actually a god. Maybe we had it all wrong. Maybe Paul is actually a god. And so they introduce him to one of the leaders of the island, and this leader's father was sick, and so Paul prayed for him, and he got healed. He experienced a miracle. And that created this chain of events where it says it was almost like an island-wide healing revival where anyone who was sick came and they all got healed. The entire culture of the island and everyone on it had an encounter with the presence and power of God. And here's why this is so important to us as we navigate these scriptures and we talk about storms. Because Paul was not on his way to Malta. He thought he was going to Rome. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to share Jesus with Caesar and influence all of Rome. And it's almost like God was saying to him, yes, Paul, that will happen in due time, but first I have an assignment for you. And the only way you're going to get there is if these gale force winds blow you off course so that you'll land on Malta. And we don't always like that. Like we kind of like to think, no, if God just whispered, go to Malta on your way, that we would obey, but we don't always obey, do we? And sometimes he's got to redirect our path in the way that only he can so that we can land on Malta. Listen, if I'm Paul, I'm probably praying very different prayers. Like it's probably one of those like complain prayers where you're just having it out with God. Like, why me? I'm already hungry. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked multiple times. Why is this happening to me again? Why does it always seem like my life falls apart? God, you're tricking me. You're tricking me. Why does it keep happening this way? That's how my prayer life would sound, but not Paul's. Paul's is a whole lot less, why me? And a whole lot more, what's next? What do you have for me now? I'm shipwrecked. You put me here. I'm on Malta. It actually got worse. I just got bit by a snake. Everyone thinks I'm like this evil person. I'm cold. I'm suffering. We haven't eaten in days. But what do you have for me here, Lord? Why did you place me here? What's next? What is the purpose? Now, just a quick qualifier in case I don't want to lose like the whole room before too long. I want to clarify. I'm not saying that every single storm that you experience in your life is caused by God to redirect your path. That's not what I'm saying. Storms come from a lot of different places, and in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about all the different reasons storms come. But at least sometimes what you see in Scripture is that without some of the storms that God orchestrates, you will miss some of the best things that God has planned for you and for the world around you. And I bet this is true for all of us in one way or another. I mean, has anyone ever like had a breakup that felt devastating in the moment, but then like 10 years later, you're like, well, thank God that didn't last. Right? You ever go to a school reunion and bump into someone who used to date and like think, God saved me. Like the first wedding I went to when Natalie and I were married, one of my buddies in high school, we went and she met one of my old girlfriends and it was as awkward as you can imagine. And I'm not exact, whatever level of awkwardness you think it was worse. And after that conversation, I remember thanking God that that relationship fell apart because my life would be so different. It would be pretty jacked up, actually. My life was saved because that relationship fell apart. Ever lose a job and think, man, I thought I'd retire. I thought I was gonna be promoted at this meeting. And actually I got demoted or I lost a job, but turns out the next thing is so much better for you. Or you're living in a city and you love that city and you've got a network and you've got a community and God uproots your family and places you somewhere else. And after a season of grieving, you really begin to realize, actually, it feels like God had this for me all along. It feels like he had this for me all along. Am I the only one? No, I can't be the only one, right? This has happened to all of us. And the thing is, we don't always know why God is doing a thing in the moment. We just don't. Because he has an eternal perspective and we are finite. We cannot see all these things. We need time and space. We need good people in our lives who can point out maybe what God is doing. We definitely need the presence of God because oftentimes there is a greater purpose on the other side of life's storms. And we don't know those things. We don't know those things. We actually need those storms to move us along the way. Listen, I want to say this with a lot of love and a lot of kindness in my heart, but I also want to say it clearly and directly to you. You are not the best leader of your life. I know we think we are, but you're not. You're not the best leader of your life. If my life was all up to me, it would go very poorly. It would be one decision after another that just simply falls apart. See, when I try to take control of my life and do God's job, it's never worked out, actually. And the same kindly is true for you. You are not the best leader of your life. Many of you have the same kind of stories that I shared early. You lost a job and finances got turned upside down. A breakup happened and it was devastating. You thought maybe you would never love again or you would never be loved again. You had to move neighborhoods or cities or churches, and at first it felt horrible. But on the back end, after enough time, when you can gain some perspective, you realize, actually, I've stumbled my way into God's purposes. And I don't even know how it happened. It's because God has an eternal perspective. And we can't see everything he sees. In fact, I would wager to bet that every single one of us would pray for certain storms to happen to our life if we knew what God knew. If we knew what God knew, we would probably pray for some of these things. If we knew what he knows eternally, if we knew the cause and effect of everything with perfect wisdom and knowledge and how it would all play out, we would actually embrace some of the storms of life because it's the way that he's going to sharpen and deepen and equip us for the things that are coming ahead. Again, not all storms. Not all storms. We're going to talk about the other kinds of storms in the coming weeks, but some absolutely come from God. And they are designed to reveal a greater purpose that you would not have found otherwise. In every storm you face, you are promised his presence and you are promised his purpose. So where do you find yourself today? This very Sunday, Sunday, May 3rd, what kinds of storms are brewing in the distance? What kinds of storms from your life are you trying to gain some interpretation on, things that happened in your past that are still not very clear to you? Or maybe some of us in this room or online, it's that Acts 27 reality, the sun and the stars are blotted out and all hope is lost. I have nothing left. All hope is lost. My prayer for you this morning is that you will experience his presence. And that even if it's just 1 degree or 5 degrees or 10 degrees, this is probably not going to be 100 out of 100 right away. But just to some degree, your prayer could shift ever so slightly from why me to what now? What do you have for me now, Lord? Because again, we're just not the best leaders of our own lives, but thankfully we have a Lord and Savior who's filled with mercy, who has unfailing love for us. His compassion showers down upon us, and he is ready to show himself at our side. Lord, would you reveal yourself to us today? Let's pray together.